Hello and welcome to Journey of the Monkey King with myself, Quiva, and my friend MJ.
Yo.
We are on the big chapter 50.
Halfway point.
Halfway point. It has taken us a mere 2 years to read half a book.
And also, if we're doing a chapter by chapter on the current schedule,
it'll be another 2 years.
It'll be another 2 years. We will finish this book in 4 years' time.
Yeah.
People do degrees in the entire field of medieval Chinese literature in this time, or 17th century Chinese literature in this time.
Yeah.
So if you're listening along and doing that for some reason, not doing the degree for some reason, fund the humanities, but listening along for some reason, best of luck, you got this.
Yeah.
You can do it. I believe in you. Go you.
Go you. Also feel free to correct all of the stupid mistakes we make.
Please do.
Oh, okay. So it was autumn time when the pilgrims crossed the heaven-reaching river and fought the great king of numinous power. And it's midwinter it's rolled around to midwinter when they find themselves ascending the Golden Helmet Mountain, and it is fucking cold. It's snowing. Yeah. They're on top of a mountain. Tripitaka is freezing and starving, and they finally come across a settlement.
How long have they been walking now, by the way, in terms of years?
Tripitaka said a couple chapters ago that it's been 7 or 8 years.
Yeah, dude needs a break.
And I get the impression that they haven't like run into anyone else since the Heaven Reaching River, so they've been like walking just like this trip without any shelter for like a couple months.
Oh Jesus.
So he is very delighted to finally come across a settlement, but Wukong insists that the buildings have an evil aura around them, and he asks to go himself to beg for food further afield while everyone else waits here.
Bad vibe bricks.
Yeah, Tripitaka protests, but I'm really hungry verbatim. That is exactly what he says, according to this translation. Maybe quite not that whinily, but...
Yeah, fair. Even if it is that whinily, fair. It's been a while.
Yeah, he reluctantly goes along with it, though. And before he leaves, Wukong draws a circle on the ground with his rod and tells Tripitaka to stay inside it. It will be as strong as an iron wall and keep him safe from harm.
He has been almost eaten a lot.
As long as he does not leave the circle, he will be fine.
Surely nothing is going to go wrong here.
Absolutely nothing.
Patiently in the circle, despite being absolutely starving.
Yep. So Wukong heads south until he sees a few homes and an old man is walking outside them. And he flies down to beg for food. Before he can say anything, a little Pekingese dog runs out from behind him and starts barking at Wukong.
Maybe.
Little doggy.
Little doggy.
Little Pekingese dog.
As semi-divine monsters, I'm kind of wondering what the calorie requirements are and how they differ from a human.
Well, Baji in particular just like eats like barrelfuls of rice.
Yeah, he is a pig. Quite literally.
And I think the other two are mentioned as having a kind of bigger appetite than Tripitaka as well, but Tripitaka has been a monk since he was like a week old, so he may be used to not eating that much.
Yeah, he's supposed to be kind of good at self-denial.
Yeah.
But also, at this point, get this man a veggie burger.
Yeah. So Wukong tells the man that he's part of a pilgrimage from the Tang Dynasty to see Buddha, and he wants to beg for some vegetarian food. And the man tells him, oh God, you are really, really lost. The road to the Western Heaven is over 1,000 miles north of here.
Oh no.
No, this is fine, because Wukong just flew 1,000 miles. They were on the right road.
Okay.
And Wukong's okay. Like, oh yeah, I just came from there. I popped down to look for food. And the man's like, Your boss is going to have starved to death by the time you get back. And he's like, No, I flew here. It took no time at all, don't worry. Which just convinces the man that Wukong is some kind of ghost, and he tries to run away.
I mean, that this guy, he seems like a smart guy, and it's the question that's on everyone's lips. Why don't you just fly there and bring him back?
No, they can't carry Tripitaka. Ignoring the one or two times that they actually have done that.
I know, it's the journey is the point, etc. But also, like, if I was a random peasant that they ran across here, that would be my first question.
That's a fair point. So Wukong still tries to insist on the food, and the man becomes angry at him and attacks him with a staff, and Wukong just stands still and takes the smacks on the head. This is about as threatening to him as like a flower.
Yeah.
He tells the man he owes him a pint of rice for every time he's hit him. And the man eventually just runs inside, screaming, "Ghost!"
You know, the ghost is very, assuming that Wukong is a ghost, the ghost has made it very clear what needs to happen for him to go away.
This is true.
I mean, I don't know how much food this guy has. He could be really, really poor, but I don't. You've got specific instructions for getting rid of your ghost there.
This is true. But in this case, Wukong decides just to fucking steal the food. So he turns invisible, which seems to be something he could have been useful for him to do previously until now, but apparently he can just turn invisible.
I think he's done it before.
He has turned into a fly and and fleas and other small insects to sneak around, but I don't think he's just completely turned invisible.
I mean, he's a showboat, isn't he?
So he turns invisible, heads inside, and fills up his alms bowl as full as he can make it with rice, and heads back north. So meanwhile, back on the main road, Tripitaka is really fucking hungry, and he is getting impatient. And
Baji, but obviously he stays in the circle like a good little monk.
Well, MJ.
Baji, oh no, to say it ain't so.
Baji suggests, Baji complains that the circle that Wukong drew is more of a prison than any kind of protection. And he thinks that Wukong is just wasting time, has gone off to play, and he's not really getting any food. And he tries to convince Tripitaka to just go on themselves and try and ask for food and shelter. And it's so cold and he is so hungry that he agrees.
He listens to Baji. That's always the first mistake.
Yeah. Even the time, like a chapter or two ago when he gave good advice about how to cross the ice sheet, it was still a bad idea to listen to him. Because he was giving good advice for a plan that nearly got Tripitaka killed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not ideal.
They head up to the largest building, but no one seems to be home. And Baji suggests that maybe everyone's still in bed because it's so cold out, which, yeah, that would be completely understandable.
That's how I'd do it.
Pretty relatable way to react to it just being really cold.
Yeah.
Baji has a look around, and in the bedroom he finds a giant skeleton Its legs are 4 or 5 feet long.
Getting the bad vibes now. Definitely understanding that.
You think it's bad when you explore a house and there's giant skeletons in the bed?
Well, if I did find food, I would feel less bad about taking it. But I'd have some questions.
MJ, pro grave robbing.
Yeah, well, they're not going to use it. It's just an efficient use of resources. Also, it would depend on how old the skeleton is, because if it's been there for a while, I'd assume that, I don't know, whatever creature caused this catastrophe got bored and wandered off.
But also, there probably wouldn't be any edible food around.
True. Oh, I don't know, rice keeps forever, right?
I guess if it's, like, dry and nothing gets at it.
Yeah. I mean, I'd have a look, anyway. But I would also get the fuck out of Dodge very quickly.
That's fair. But yeah, so, Baji does not agree with this. He, finds 3 brocaded silk shirts in the bedroom as well, and he just decides to rob them. And he brings them back down to Tripitaka and Wujing, and Tripitaka gives out to him for stealing.
They're dead. They're not gonna miss it. Also, if that skeleton is so big, how big are those fucking shirts?
Don't worry about it.
Okay.
There's something I've noticed about when Tripitaka gives out is he gives out for stealing, but his argument isn't really a moral one. He says that if someone finds out, they'll be charged by any authorities in the area, yeah. Which is his primary concern. He's very legalistic for a monk.
I'm still remembering the murder is illegal episode. Like, why didn't you just sue your murderer from beyond the grave?
Yeah.
Fucking liberals.
God. I don't know, it's especially funny just repeating the point I've said a million times of the real Xuan Zhang, you know, snuck out of the country illegally.
Yeah, this one has his papers stamped.
This one has his papers stamped and ready to go. He probably has one of those fancy like leather passport books to make your passport look nicer and protect it. Actually, he probably wouldn't use leather. He's a vegetarian. Yeah,
true.
But, you know.
Hessian, maybe. We'll go with the monk aesthetic.
So, anyway, Baji and Wu Jing completely ignore him and they go and try on the shirts. Which immediately turn into straight jackets and magically tie them up.
Right.
So... The local demon king, the great king, one-horned buffalo, hears them shouting and arrives to find them already tied up for him. And his imps carry them up, or pick them up, carry them off, including the horse and the luggage, and takes them away. And Tripitaka begs for mercy and explains he's just a monk, he's on a pilgrimage, from the Tang Empire, he's going to see Buddha for scriptures. Please have mercy. And he was like, "Oh, I've heard about you. You're the Tang monk. I heard all great shit about eating you and becoming immortal. And I really think they should stop telling all the demons that they're on a pilgrimage from China at this point."
Yeah, just I mean, clearly words got around that this monk flesh is just woof.
His reputation. Know. Amongst demons, at least, very much precedes him.
Just get a fake mustache, and go. I am a.
I mean, they don't.
Acadria.
I don't think they know what he looks like. He just has to like lie.
Yeah, just I am but a simple merchant trader.
Yeah.
But that would be probably against the rules somehow.
Yeah. Well, he wouldn't be able to get his passport stamped then.
This is true. And he's collecting those, which is very important to him.
Yeah, it's like when you go around the Wild Atlantic Way and you have to get a stamp at every post office.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, there's like a book you can get and like a page for like all the post offices and all the towns along the coast. You can get them stamped as like a memento thing.
Yeah.
Try and encourage tourists to go to like the smaller towns.
To post offices.
I'm not sure if they're all in post offices, but it's that kind of thing.
Right.
Go around, get a stamp on every page, collect them all. Please spend money in all our small towns.
They are really in need of economic help.
But yeah, anyway, when Sun Wukong returns to the mountain, he finds the circle he drew completely intact, but empty, and no sign of the other pilgrims. Not no sign. There's hoof prints on the ground, and he follows them for 5 or 6 miles.
He's got to be completely unsurprised, right?
I think he's annoyed. What does it say exactly? All he saw were strange rocks and mountain ridges. Aghast, Pilgrim said, "That's it. They must have fallen into danger." Following the tracks of the horse, he hurried along the road towards the west. So he's just kind of, I don't know, aghast is the only description of his reaction.
I mean, he possibly figured that Tripitaka was going to be too smart to listen to Baji.
So 6 or 7 miles down the road, he runs into an old man out walking with a young servant. And Wukong asks the man about his companions, and the old man says he's seen them, but Wukong should run away. They've been the local demon king around here, the great king One-Horned Buffalo, lives in the Golden Helmet Cave on the Golden Helmet Mountain, and he's captured them, and he's incredibly dangerous. And Wukong insists he has to find his companions, and he's about to dump the rice he gathered on the ground so he can go look for them. When the old, I say gathered, that he stole.
Yeah.
When the old man and boy suddenly reveal their true forms and tell Wukong that they're the mountain god and local spirit of the area, and offer to hold on to the rice bowl until the great sage has rescued the Tong monk.
Would you believe him, though? I guess you don't have, it's that or pour it on the ground. The rice would be gone either way if they're lying.
If all they're after is stealing some rice, they're probably like,
yeah, they're probably.
If someone is trying to steal some rice off me, I'd probably like take pity on them if they need to do that.
True. But then again, you're not starving to death.
Wukong's not starving to death either. Tripitaka is the only one who's really complaining. Like, not even Baji is complaining about being hungry, I think, which is odd.
Yeah. Maybe they haven't been leaving the human enough food.
Yeah, but if Baji's just eating all of it.
So it's just like, no, we're not going to help you like at all, but we'll take your rice.
Well, they're offering to hold it so he doesn't have to throw it away, I guess. Something.
You know, hey, I'm a random god. Am I going to help you with your demon problem? Nah, just give me your rice.
I don't know what help they would really be, to be honest.
True enough.
But yeah, Wukong is a bit annoyed at them for tricking him, but he leaves the bowl with them and heads off. And it doesn't take him long to find the monster's cave guarded by imps, who he tells to go tell their boss that the disciple of the Tong monk is here.
Gonna fuck you up.
So we've a bit of a usual routine here. One Horn is big, intimidating guy. He has a 12-foot long spotted steel lance. So I'm not exactly sure what spotted steel is. I'm kind of imagining something like Damascus steel in my head, with a fancy little pattern on it. He has a single jagged horn, and he has dark indigo skin. And he's a buffalo. He says if Wukong can survive 3 rounds with him, he will spare Tripitaka's life.
Again, it's all the James Bond villain monologuing. The I mean, if word has gotten around about this monk, surely word now has to be eat him straight away before the monkey shows up.
Yeah, word has gotten around about Wukong as well, but half the time the demons are just like, oh wow, he sounds like a good fight.
Yeah, I guess no one wants to admit that they were beaten by him either.
Well, very few of them survive.
True.
To tell any stories. And the ones that do usually get like recruited or taken back into like the employment of another god.
Your Guanyin gives you one more fucking chance and you say yes, ma'am, and fall into line.
Yeah. Or in the case of Silverhorn and Goldenhorn, they do die, but then are just brought back to life anyway and given a job.
We're operating comic book rules here.
Yeah, so anyway, they fight for more than 30 rounds, and instead of leaving the monk go, like he said, Horny just calls for backup and unleashes his
Horny? Imp on Kong.
Yeah, he's the one horn demon king.
Yeah,
do you not like the nickname?
All right, look, if that's the one you're going to go with, you're the one who's running the Twitter account. this horny fucker goes for 30 rounds.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, Wukong, rather than being annoyed at the demon gang like sending his minions in instead, he isn't annoyed at this. He could not be happier at this outcome. This is exactly what he wants. He's having a great time. It's a big fight. There's no fucking water. He doesn't have to swim. This is fantastic.
This is his territory.
Yeah.
He's very comfortable here.
So he fights them off for a while, and then eventually, when he is getting a bit under pressure from the amount of them, he throws the golden hoop rod in the air, shouts change, and it splits into hundreds and thousands of iron rods falling on the fiends from the sky. But as the imps run away, the Demon King laughs, takes a white fillet out of his sleeve, tosses it in the air, shouts hit, and the iron rods reform back into a single pole, which gets sucked inside the fillet, leaving Wukong unarmed, and he has
wait,
to flee.
A fillet of what?
It's a fillet. So there's the golden. Like I think it just means like a hat. So it's oh, okay.
They're not like chicken, because given the hunger situation, that would just be taunting them.
The like headband that Wukong wears, the torture headband, is also referred to as a fillet.
I had forgotten.
Yeah,
the torture headband has not made an appearance for a while.
Yeah, and I usually don't call it the fillet for this exact reason, even though it's what the book often calls it. Yeah, so he throws the hat in the air, and the iron rod gets sucked inside, leaving an unarmed Wukong to flee for his life.
Can you really call yourself unarmed when one hare can turn into an army?
Yeah, but they won't have any iron rod.
True. I sort of feel like a million monkeys is enough to deal with.
Wukong apparently disagrees, and he runs away.
Well, he knows more about combat than me.
With that, we are halfway through the book.
Shit. It's been a journey.
I feel
a
like
a journey to the west.
Yes.
A journey with a monkey king.
A journey is being had.
Yes.
I don't know what I'm saying.
I don't either.
I feel like we kind of have settled into a bit of a routine with these encounters at this point. I skipped over a couple bits of dialogue and poems because it's all a bit rote. But I do promise there's very fun things coming up.
Yay. I have complete faith in you. And the monster of the week is fun.
So in celebration of we being halfway through the book, I'm going to put up three bonus episodes for patrons, which are the original attempts to record this podcast that we made back in 2019. Because we actually originally I had an idea to do this podcast for a while before we put it out. And we recorded a couple episodes in 2019. And we basically ended up being too busy to continue with it.
Then, you know, for some reason, life got quieter for a bit.
Life got a bit quieter in around 2020 for some reason.
I can't remember why, but I remember, you know, you remember that time when live entertainment was a seasonal sport for a bit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And MJ wasn't organizing an entire like comedy collective for a while. Go see Hysteria shows if you're in Dublin.
Yay, Shinnae Dublin. Also, if you're in Dublin, pop into Shinnae because it's a nice bar and the pints are not extortionate.
So yeah, there's going to be three episodes of that. One is just a kind of an intro episode. We did a similar kind of introduction episode when we properly released the podcast as well. And the first two chapters, I will warn that I've tried to clean it up as much as I can, but the second chapter recording in particular is really bad, because I was experimenting. I had a really cheap microphone, and you'll hear that in like the introductory chapter in chapter one recording. And then
practice.
I had a really bad microphone, and I was playing around with a bunch of like settings in OBS to try and like do noise cancellation stuff live in the recording. And it did not work. And I had tested it, and I was like, oh no, this sounds worse. It's just clipping constantly.
Yikes.
And I said, okay, I won't use this. And then I forgot to turn it off when we recorded chapter two. So I've tried to clean it up as best I could for it. But yeah. Yeah, we're putting up a bonus episode that's completely unlistenable, but it's there.
Because we love you. It's like a cat bringing you a dead pigeon.
Yeah, so...
Consider this our dead pigeon of love to you.
Yeah, sorry, I feel like I really need to warn anyone who, like, wants... Who warn in advance before anyone, like, signs up to pay for that, but we'll...
If you're considering a move from tech to sales, Quiva, like, I'm sure there are mentoring opportunities you could look into before you make that jump.
There are some fun stuff that I'd forgotten when I was listening back over them, though, to edit them. One of which was actually, apparently in our original recording, we seemed to have had the assumption that you were going to be the one who was going to edit the show.
Yeah!
Which I had forgotten entirely.
Yeah... That didn't happen. I'm sorry.
But yeah. So. Yeah, that's everything, I guess. Patreon is patreon.com/monkeykingpod. Twitter is also monkeykingpod. And if you wish to give us money, you can listen to our first attempt at recording this podcast. And I think the second attempt went much better. I think lessons were learned from the first attempt and not just the audio quality thing.
We all grow and learn.
Yeah, I did eventually just buy a better microphone as well.
But on Patreon, we also have the reaction to the truly baffling BBC series.
Yes.
Yes.
Reading some extracts from the great Tang Dynasty record of the Western Regions.
Yeah. Be fun.
Yep.
It's lots of fun.
Okay. Thank you very much for listening. And we will I was gonna say we will see you. Obviously we won't, but you will hear us. You will hear from us for the next 50 chapters, I guess.
Yay. Bye.
Bye.